The reading this morning is from Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Mark. I'm deacon of the church. I'm married to Carol with three kids. Today, it's a privilege to be sharing God's word with you. So, do you want to shout out what stood out to you through the passage?
Do not swear.
Do not swear.
The last statement is pretty
good. The last statement.
The last sentence here, where it says, just say yes or no, anything else that you will say will be from the evil one.
The evil one, yeah. John. Yep. Yvonne.
We talk not necessarily about the word, but by omission of not, you show it through your actions.
Yep.
You say by word, so that's still a form of lying.
Yep.
You're not being honest about
things. Not just about words, but about your action as well. Any more? Yeah.
Also vows to the Lord.
Mm.
Probably
puts
a higher level of importance on them.
Yeah. Thank you. Who else?
We talked a bit about let your yes be yes and your no be no, and how easy it is for people to just renege on that. I'll help you with this. I'll be here on time. I'll do this. Oh, it's not working for me today. I'm not going to come. So people don't follow through on their word.
Yeah. It's about keeping your promise, isn't it? Right. Okay. So, today, we carry on with our sermon series, which is on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And the topic today is living no lies. And why are we talking about that? Why is Jesus talking about it? Well, obviously, getting people to tell the truth is obviously an issue. And it was a big issue back then at Jesus' time. And it is remember the issue nowadays in our society as well. So, we all fall into it. Has anyone not lied? I won't get you to put your hand up because all the hands will go up. And for those who don't put their hand up, then we might have a real concern for them. So we won't do that. We won't do that. Now, as a parent, when we go away, we always look for things to do, look for entertainment, you know, things we can do as a family, especially when we are in a new place or in a rainy day. You'll Google it, what to do in this place in a rainy day, and it'll pop up top 10 things to do. And it never failed to surprise me that there are so many mini golf places in New Zealand. So many of them. Just almost everywhere you go, you Google, oh, there's a mini golf here. And there's always a good thing to do, especially an indoor one to do on a rainy day. So, yes, mini golf. Some of the mini golfs are quite basic, but some of them are quite exciting, you know, with all the decorations, with all the props. And some of them can be a bit pricey. So sometimes we get there, your times by five. Oh, that's quite a bit. So I will go, well, just pay for the kids, you know, let them have fun, and we'll adult will just watch. So we'll let them go, you know, they start putting. After a wee while, I say, oh, that is fun. You know, third hole is fun. Let daddy have a go. So I said, I have a go. Unpaid. So Did I have fun? Well, I have to be truthful. I can't lie up here. Yes, I did have fun. But on the hindsight, when I look back, wow, I was actually on the edge. I will pop the hole that nobody can see me. And I would have enjoyed far more would I have paid the price, full price. And I would enjoy all 18 holes. But I was just like, you know, having a little moment, you know, when people can't see me and having a bit of my fun there. So when I reflect on that, that is a bit of dishonesty in there, isn't it? You all agree with that. And I think back, well, that is not very respectful thing for the store owner. And it's certainly not a God-honoring thing to do. At that time, I choose to make the decision. I thought that's a good thing. But when I look back, that is not a good thing to do. But just to let you know, the last time I've been to the mini golf, I did pay for myself and I did enjoy the whole thing. Right, now we all have moments of dishonesty in our lives. And Jesus wants to address that. So today we read a scripture about making oath, making vows. Well, let's pause for a moment and see what that actually looks like in Jesus' time. What is Jesus talking about? So making oath, making vows in Jesus' time is extremely common. People do it to give a solemn promise to indicate what they are telling. They are telling the truth. It gives emphasis to what they say. And it is quite often used to seal a promise or to resolve a dispute. And it always involves adding a higher authority to give it more weight, to add to the credibility of the statement. So we think, well, making oath to make people more reliable, to make them more accountable, isn't that a good thing? Well, on paper, yes. But in reality, a deceitful heart always looks for loopholes. What is happening there? Now, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they know that taking God's name in vain was forbidden. So people create things, people start swearing by lesser things, like we just read, the heavens, swear by the earth, swear by Jerusalem, or swear by your own head. That's quite an interesting one. But people come up with that. And then the loophole is, now if in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus rebuked the teachers, the Pharisees, saying that, hey, you guys, you're making things up here, all right? You said, if you swear by the temple, that's okay, you can break it, that's all right. But if you swear by the gold in the temple, oh, you better keep that. So they have different standards for different things. If you swear by the altar, that's all right, you can break it, that's okay. But if you swear by the gift that is on the altar, then you better keep that. So we see that causes a lot of confusion. What is actually the right thing? You know, it's all in the words, isn't it? It's like a word game. It's almost like you have to read through the terms and conditions when you sign up for insurance or buy stuff. What makes the guarantee valid? What will actually void it? If you don't read it, sometimes, you know, you start fiddling with this machine and then avoid the warranty, then you can't claim it anymore. So it's a bit like that. Now, Dallas Willard says, people make oath to impress others with their, what looks like, sincerity and reliability, and thus gain acceptance of what they are saying and what they want. It is a method of getting their way. It is simply a device of manipulation. So that's what's happening there. People become manipulative with the vows. One vow can be broken, the other one vow they can be kept it, so they get away with it. And manipulation is never the right attitude towards others and towards their creators. Now, what Jesus is saying is, it is not about whether you keep the oath you made or not. It is about how truthful you are inside. Jesus is not interested in our external performance, but our internal holiness. Now, through this sermon series, 2 weeks ago, talks about the scripture, do not murder. But God wants to deal with our inner anger. If we can deal with our inner anger, there will be no murder. Last week, Hayden talks about a scripture that do not commit adultery. But God is interested in dealing with our lust inside. And today, we look at live no lies. It's not the outward expression only, but it's inside how truthful we are. Now, why is telling lies, why is it so hard to tell the truth sometimes? Now, let's go back to the first lie in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. God created Adam and Eve, put them in this beautiful garden of Eden. And here comes the devil one. He tells Eve partial truth, saying that, did God really say you can't eat this fruit in the middle of the garden? You will surely not die. If you eat it, your eyes will be open. Know the knowledge like God. He planted this light and Eve fell for it. Took a bite of it, fell into the trap. Please do not think this is all Adam and Eve's fault. It was me there, I could well just do that. So we are all, guilty of that. So since then, the sin, human fall, they believe God withholding something good from them. They have to do something to be good, to be worthy, to gain acceptance. So from that day, mankind, we started to have to feel like we have to find our way in the world. We have to do some manipulation. We have to climb up the ladder. We have to do all sorts of things. We start to lie because we believe in the lie. And Jesus said, the devil, Satan, is the father of all lies. So I'm going to write it down. I'm going to use the whiteboard today. All right. So, Satan is the father of all lies. And we lie because we're fearful. We're fearful. One of the symptoms of the fall is that we become anxious. We become uneasy. We feel like we need to do something. We need to do something to navigate around the world. Now, lies. Lies. Why do we tell lies? We tell lies to gain selfish gain, isn't it? We lie so we can, sometimes we don't pay the right amount of tax so we can keep some for ourselves. We tell little lies at the mini golf so I can keep some more in my pocket. And that is not right. So lies, what is it? We do lies to for selfish gain. But in reality, we are fearful. Fear what? Fear that I might not be happy. Fear that we might not be happy. We feel like if we have more money, I'll be happier. If I have this, have that, I'll be happier. So I need to lie to have that. We tell lies. Why do we tell lies? We tell lies sometimes we feel like we need to have control. We need to manipulate. We need to have control. We need to have control. But what we're fearful is we lose control. We are heading closer towards election. We can see the major parties started to have their campaigns. The minor parties have their campaign as well. But have you ever had an experience that you vote this party in because their policy is great? They promise to do this, and they promise not to do that. But sometimes, partway through their terms, after being voted in, they turn around and say, oh, we can't do this now because of the economy, and we have to do this because of that. You feel a bit of let down, isn't it? Sometimes it's like that. People have to manipulate their words to gain power, to gain control, in order for them to be successful. And that is real sad sometimes. Now, sometimes we lie because we are scared of the consequence. We did something wrong. We did a little oops. We're scared to own up. We're scared of the consequence. Because we are fearful of the outcome. We might be condemned. We might be, you know, we might be put in jail, these sort of things. We're fearful of the punishment. I remember when I was young, maybe about 6 years old, this one day I was having this little can of Coke. And you all know Coke is, the color is brown, isn't it? And I found that there's this big pot of water on the bench. I don't know what I was thinking. I tipped a little Coke into the water, and the water turned brown. And I thought, great, I tipped a little Coke in there. Now I have got a big pot of Coke. That is great. So I just left it in there. I'm thinking, well, I have done something really smart. Later on, Dad came in. He was going to fetch himself a glass of water. And he said, what is that brown? Who did that? I was terrified. I went and hide. I don't think I owned up till this day. I hide. I thought my dad is going to give me a real hiding. I hide it. I couldn't remember whether I slept well that night. Probably not. But I'm fearful. And then sometimes we fear. If I tell the truth, something dreadful is going to happen. So we decide not to tell the truth. And it is out of fear. Now, what can we do then? If we get trapped in this, what we need to do is know the truth. If Satan is the father of all lies, then we need to come to the truth. What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And if you become my disciple, you come. You hold to my teaching. You are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So on one side, we have Satan, the father of all lies. On the other side, we have Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the truth. I want to look at this claim from Jesus. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus, he's the good shepherd. Now, there's one scripture really stood out to me when we come to talk about shepherd. And that's a well-known Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Jesus is the shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Do I need to gain whatever I can gain? Do I not trust Him provide everything I need? So whenever you feel, well, I need to do something for my personal gain so I can be happy, let's counteract with the truth. Jesus provided us with everything we need. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. When it comes to control, sometimes you feel like, well, I need to manipulate people around me so they will listen to me so I can have control. We'll be reminded, if we follow Jesus, He will make the path straight. He leads me to quiet pastures, green pastures, let me lie down in peace. So Jesus, if we follow Jesus, He is our good shepherd. We don't need to control people around us. Let Jesus take the lead. When we have done a little oops, we're fearful of the consequence. God is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. The right thing to do is to be truthful, knowing that the enemy, enemy might come and say, hey, you have done this. Look at you. You're not worthy. They might come attack us of our self-worth. But what? In that scripture, what does it say? 23, what does it say? It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We're scared of being condemned. But Jesus said, you know, He prepared a table for us. We should not be scared. So, where does that take us? Where does it take us? Now, Jesus is interested in our inner holiness, as we said earlier. Jesus used an analogy like a cup. If we scrub the inside clean, the outside will be clean in the process. Well, you just had a cup of coffee, you put it in the sink, you scrub the inside, the outside get clean. But if we just focus on polishing the outside, yeah, outward expression, you know, our words, what we do, look good, the inside may still be filthy. So the good news is, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the good shepherd. In Jesus, we are safe. We are loved. We no longer have to work our way through the world to look good, to control our situation, to fear the consequence, because Jesus has taken care of that. And in Jesus' kingdom, do we trust Him enough? Let Him take control of our life. Let Him go of how we might look like in front of people. In Him we are safe. We are truly loved. So let's just dwell on the truth. Dwell on the truth. Now a few practical things I would suggest that's going to help us to really live a truthful life, to really live in truth. Now, last term, we talk about, in our sermon series, we talk about discipleship. We're all like apprentices. In Jesus' time, the young apprentice learned from the rabbi. They go live with rabbi. They eat with rabbi. They live with rabbi. You know, and they, you know, Caleb said, sometimes they go into the toilet with the rabbi to see what sort of prayer the rabbi does. So, when we spend time with Jesus, become His disciples, we'll become more and more like Him. Number one, we spend time with Jesus. And then two, we learn what Jesus does. And then three, we'll start doing what Jesus did. So spend time with the truth. Spend time with Jesus. So a few practical things. Spend time with Jesus through our prayer, through our scripture reading. Number two, tell somebody, be accountable, or I'll write it down, accountability. And your small group is a good place to do that. Share with somebody, I struggle with telling the truth, but now I choose to tell the truth. Dale, can you ask me, you know, next week whether I've done that? So I'm going to make myself accountable. Next time you see me, Mark, have you been doing other mini golf? Have you paid for that? Have you paid for yourself? We hold each other accountable. Number three. There might be a space that you feel like you need to make a confession. You might have lived an untruthful life. You might need to confess that. When we confess our sin, bring it to the light, then this thing loses power. There's a space for that. There's a place for that. And it brings healing as well. Number four. Telling the truth, live a truthful life. There's a price to pay for that. Are we prepared for it? If you have done something wrong, we need to right the wrong. If you've been filing the wrong tax return, you might need to write the wrong. You might need to pay back to the IRD. If you have done something that's hurtful, you have deceived somebody, you need to write the wrong. In the gospel, there's a guy called Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector. He's collecting money from his people for the Roman emperor. And he charges extra, put in his pocket. But when he had an encounter with Jesus, what was his reaction? He said, Jesus, I will give all my wealth to the poor. And for those who have cheated, I'll pay them back four times. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus owned up what he has done wrong. And he has righted the wrong. So brothers and sisters, if God today has convicted you of something and caused you to do something, please don't ignore it. Now, we had just shared a piece earlier. And part of the purpose of sharing peace is if you hold a grudge against somebody, it's a time to make right. Share peace. It could be a time that, well, I have wronged somebody. During peace time, go, look, John, we might need a coffee, talk about that incident, you know, earlier on. They're sort of things. It's to make right. Make right the wrong. Right or wrong. And there could be a price to pay. But rest assured, God's grace is greater than the price you might need to pay. God's grace is greater and is always enough for us. So, we come to the end. Jesus, this passage is not about whether we take the oath or not. It's about being truthful. Jesus would rather us not to have to take an oath. If what we say is what it is, we're going to do it. We don't need to say oath. Imagine my daughter comes and says, "Oh, Daddy, I will help you with the dishes." And I tell her, "Your pinky promise? You're going to do it?" If she's always truthful, I trust she's truthful. We don't need to do those sort of oaths, isn't it? If I say I'm going to do these, I'll do it. Caleb, believe I'll do it. He doesn't make me take oath. That sort of things. So Jesus wants us to be truthful. And today, I will encourage you to dwell with the truth. To dwell with the truth that He is our good shepherd. He's already laid down His life for us. So we are safe, we are truly loved in Him. And there's a safe place for us. We can always live a truthful life. We can always be true with our word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You. You are the way, You are the truth, You are the life. Lord, we hold on to that claim. Lord, You help us to be like You, to be truthful, and to be loving, and to be kind. Lord, there will be moments that we fall, we stumble, but Lord, Your grace is great. You help us to get on our feet. And Lord, we love because You love us first. We have experienced Your love, and then we can go and love one another, or honor one another, because they deserve the truth from us. They deserve us always telling the truth. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We pray You bless us and guide us from here on. And help us hold each other accountable and support each other. Because, Lord, we want to live a life that honors You by being truthful. Thank You, Lord. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.